Your radio's tuned to Resonance 104.4 FM. My name's Jack Thurston, and this is the new season of The Bike Show. The sound of London's very own Desperate Bicycles with their song called Cars, which is kind of about hating cars, but I think it's more about loving bikes. Welcome again to The Bike Show. This is the first in a new series. And joining me this week is William Greswell, back in the studio, who came in last summer. Welcome, William.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
And I'm so happy to be starting the new series just as spring is springing and everybody's thinking, it's a bit sunny out there, the tube's a bit sweaty, I'm going to be getting on my bike.
Yeah, it really feels like people are back on the back on their bikes. They've sort of, the people who weren't really riding in the winter have kind of dusted down their machines and got them out. Yeah, it's a really nice feeling to see them all out there.
Yeah, I came over Waterloo Bridge and it was really crammed with people. And you feel so much kind of safer and more happy. It's more of a joyful experience when it's light, when there's other people on the road.
Yeah, it's less of a battle, I guess, and you know, it feels a bit more intimidating when you're commuting in the dark in the morning and the evening.
Well, this week we're going to be looking at an amazing French film about the Tour de France called Pour un Maillot Jaune, for a yellow jersey, and it's by Claude Lelouch from 1965, and it's just a 25-minute film, but it is totally impressionistic about what the Tour is like during the Tour's heyday. And we're going to play a few excerpts and catch up on what's been happening in the world of bicycling in London and beyond. But before all that, I'm going to play the opening sequence of the soundtrack.
Thank you.
that's some of the sounds from the opening minutes of Claude Lelouch's film Pour un Maillot Jaune. What is it about that film that you like so much, William?
Well, I think you can tell from just listening to those opening moments. It's so evocative. For anyone who's actually been to watch the tour, an individual stage, will understand the amazing sense of event around it and the sort of exposition of French culture that you see when the race goes by, from the people who are watching to the caravan publicitaire, all those noises and colours and sounds. It's overwhelming.
Because the way the film is made, there's the vision, which is non-synchronous with the sound. So they've used these little cameras to get really up close to the riders and turn the bikes and the crowds and get in there. But obviously in those days, I guess those cameras would be difficult to do sound on at the same time. So they've recorded a soundtrack separately of a lot of the same sounds, and then they've kind of patched it all together.
No, that's right. And that's what it gives it a real sense of intimacy of experience of the race, which is what it's like when you're there, because you can get genuinely really, really close to the riders when you go to the race, even now in the days of sort of increased security. So when that was made, it really was a case of fans and riders all sort of really close to each other. So, and having that blend and that feeling from the film is really, really overpowering.
Because all it is about 25 minutes long, and it's not got really any narration. Mm. There was a Louis Malle film a couple of years before, Vive le Tour, which is narrated. But this one isn't narrated. It's just the sounds,
that's right.
A bit of extra music overdubbed on top. And it's also that period in the 60s when you could, you still had that sense of the amateur and the people getting really close to the riders.
And
there's this scene where they're all getting massaged afterwards, and it's just kind of really, people coming and going. Yeah. There's none of this, okay, we're professional sports people, we're over here. And everyone just bundles in.
No, that's right. In that way, it really betrays the true cultural roots of the race, I guess, which it genuinely is a Tour de France. It is. It's an opportunity for the people of France to really experience a national event.
Because how did the tour start?
Yeah, you're going to test me on my history now. Well, it was roughly 100 years ago, I suppose, because the centenary tour was 2003. So when it started, it was a relatively small amount of stages, but it was set up by a newspaper and France Auto, or I can't remember the name of the paper.
It's a car.
It's a very famous car newspaper whose colour was yellow, I believe. Hence the Maillot Jaune is one of the connections with that. And it was set up as kind of an advertising stunt for that paper, and grew from there. Really captured the imagination of the French public.
Because when it started off, you didn't have any helpers.
No,
you're just like
no.
a rider on your bike on your own, and if you had a broken fork, whatever, you'd have to go and weld it or something like that.
You were allowed no support whatsoever. And there's a famous story of a French rider whose fork broke, and he had to mend it in a forge
of a
blacksmith's forge. And it was claimed that he'd had some help from the blacksmith, and there we got disqualified.
Because the helper of the blacksmith
exactly,
had worked the bellows or something fire to get the
correct. Yeah,
get
so
the
he'd done all the work, but he didn't realise there was some small fellow who actually, like you say, operating the bellows and keeping the fire going.
Well, let's dip in for another little snapshot of the film.
Thank you. côté derrière le peloton. Col de Percy, placé troisième catégorie pour le Grand Prix de la Montagne.
You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM. This is The Bike Show with Jack Thurston and William Greswell. We're showcasing the fantastic French film Pour un Maillot Jaune and the soundtrack. We can't showcase the visuals on the radio, unfortunately, but the soundtrack gives you just as much of an impression of what's going on as the visuals. I think in that last sequence, William, we heard a kind of overexcited dog who was probably getting let loose on the bikes or something like that.
Yeah, a bit of a risk for the riders there. Probably get a dog chasing after your heels, yapping away.
And then we sort of, I think that last minute or so was when they entered into the mountains and everything goes a bit sombre.
Yeah, I think, if I remember right, it's a very, very hot day in the mountains, and you've got a few images of these riders in grinding through the really low gears on some very steep, hot mountainsides, of that real kind of swinging from side to side of the frame to get, dragging themselves to the top of a col.
And always being chased by the voiture balai.
Exactly, yeah, that intimidating.
I mean, they actually have a little sequence where they focus on the voiture balai.
That's right, yeah,
which is the broom wagon that goes behind the tour, all the riders, and it's keeping a certain time that if you get caught by the voiture balai, your tour is over.
Yeah.
You get swept up by the broom and put in the back.
Yeah, I know. It must feel pretty humiliating for that to happen, but I think for most of the riders, it's probably an overwhelming sense of relief, really, that it's actually arrived finally.
But it's this great van. It's one of those old or those Citroën vans. Is it corrugated aluminium or something?
Yeah, it looks like it's sort of corrugated iron or something on the sides. I think if anyone listening has been to France and has seen that kind of thing, and knows the van that we're talking about. It's very distinctive.
So sort of the Citroën classic delivery van.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
where they stick a broom on the back.
Yeah, exactly. So it's almost shaped like a kind of loaf of bread, I remember rightly.
Well, some of the music in there just fills you with joy about cycling around London. And I don't know, I'd like to have that music going on while I'm going around town.
Well, I don't know, mate, it's a little bit dangerous. What do you reckon?
Having it on my headphones. No, I just like to have it. I mean, I used to cycle with the radio in my basket of my bike, but not with the headphones, because I think the headphones is a bit dangerous.
Yeah, I think.
And if you get knocked off your bike while you're wearing headphones, then you don't really have much argument with whoever it is who's knocked you off.
I think the degree of sympathy would be pretty low.
Yeah, exactly. There is no sympathy in my book for people driving SUVs. What Greenpeace are trying to do at the moment is they're running a campaign to get the congestion charge increased to 20 quid for SUVs.
Yeah. Which I think is a good idea, actually. I mean, the thing about these automobiles is they spit out an awful lot of pollution.
And they take up a lot of space
on
the road.
And they take up a lot of room
on the
road.
That's what you really notice on a bike, because one of the things about riding a bike is you can go down the side of the traffic.
That's right.
You can fit in between. But when there's an SUV in front, one of these monster trucks, you can't get round it.
I know, that's right. And I guess wear on the road as well, because they're pretty heavy things as well. I mean, they're built on the kind of wheelbase of a pickup truck, generally, I think. And so they're pretty heavy vehicles,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean,
they take up a lot of space.
Yeah, so Greenpeace are in league with the Alliance Against Urban 4x4s, and there's a petition on the web that you can sign, and there's some really cool T-shirts that you can get that just says, I think it's like a black T-shirt with a white logo, as I remember, with a logo of a SUV with a do not enter sign above it, and it says not clean, not clever and not cool, or something like that, and you can have a look at those or sign the petition on the web at www.stopurban4by4s.org.uk, and that's four as in the numeral four by four, or just type in Google the Alliance Against Urban 4x4s. And one of their friends on the web is Waste Monsters, who are running this kind of cheeky campaign that William, you've got something
over
there.
Yeah, I've got that in front of me now. I mean, I saw this for the first time a couple of months ago, actually. I was cycling around Kensington, going to visit a friend of mine who lives up there, and I noticed one of those huge BMW SUVs, and I saw this thing flapping around under its windscreen wiper. It looks just like a parking ticket. It has the same yellow and black chevrons around the edge, but it's flapping around, and I was just having a look at it, and it's like a parking ticket, but it's like a protest leaflet telling the owner of the SUV about
what does it say.
I can read a bit out for you. So it's at the top, rather than saying penalty notice, it says poor vehicle choice, a dirty and dangerous car in brackets, as you should know, and it says was seen at London, the largest urban sprawl in Europe, and it's from Climate Chaos, it says delivered by a concerned citizen. The front's just to be eye-catching. On the back, there's some really interesting stuff about the implications of owning a car like this. It says, be honest with yourself, you got a bit overexcited when you saw the advert where the shiny 4x4 dodges Himalayan rockfalls and chasing lions in the Serengeti. And it just goes through saying, you know, the fuel economy of these cars is terrible. You know, it's a myth that these cars are safer because, you know, they're oversized, they're a danger to their passengers and other road users because of their sheer size. And, you know, they emit a huge amount of ground pollution, much more than other cars, carbon monoxide, etc. And it's kind of constructive. It says, well, how can you change things? How can you change things for the better? And the obvious solutions are, you know, walk a bit more, cycle a bit more, maybe catch the bus, and maybe share a lift. So, you know, it's designed to kind of catch attention, but it also has some quite interesting information.
Yeah, and on the website they've got... you can get just a generic London one, or you can actually get ones that are based on the Kensington and Chelsea borough parking tickets. They're absolutely there's a selection. So wherever you live, if you live, you can just download these things, print them out, or you can actually, I think you can get the, if you want to take it a bit seriously, you can get Waste Monsters to send you a bundle of professionally printed ones.
Nice.
And basically you can go around and you can put these stickers on the SUVs of your choice. And the website for that is www.wastemonsters.org.uk. But what I just noticed that in France and Italy there are these plans to have green taxes, so that more kind of gas guzzling cars get higher rates of tax. And the French are proposing that these SUVs and other high gas using cars the owners have to pay an extra £2,300 a year in taxes, whereas the owners of smaller cars will get actual rebate of about £500.
I think that's a good idea. I think we need to start thinking about what the individual implications of people's, you know, buying choices of cars are. I think there's a lot in that, and some motivation for going small, if you like, going economically.
Yeah, although I think the Italians have made a similar proposal, and some of the people who are objecting to it are saying, well, is there any coincidence that the national car makers of France and Italy are Fiat and Renault and Citroën, who don't really make a lot of SUVs?
Yeah, they didn't have the biggest reputation in the world.
So there could be a little bit of national interest there.
That would never happen.
I think good luck to them, and I think a £20 congestion charge in London. I know they're possibly talking about putting it up to £8 for everybody, but I think it'd be much better to put it up to £20 for white van man and Mr. and Mrs. SUV.
Yeah, expect the calls to come rolling in now, Resonance FM.
No, Resonance listeners, they like to ride bikes. They don't drive SUVs. Anyway, let's have a little bit more from Paul Meyer-Jean. Some more sounds from the fantastic film about the Tour de France in 1965, Pour un Maillot Jaune. You're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM, and joining me, Jack Thurston, in the studio is William Greswell. Now, William, I've got a great idea, because we've been talking about political action in London against SUVs and about keeping the road open for bicycles and keeping the road safe for bicycles, and we've been talking about the Tour de France and cycling large distances up big hills. There's the G8 summit coming up in Scotland.
Yeah.
And there's going to be lots of protests about that, because people want to protest against globalisation, against the fact that the governments are not doing enough to help the poor people in the world, and that everything's being taken over by corporations. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a G8 cycle caravan riding from London to Glen Eagles in Scotland.
Yeah,
picking up people along the way. So you can ride from London to Scotland over, well, it looks like, about 11 days.
Right.
With hundreds and hundreds of people, hopefully.
So who's the brain behind
it? I think it's one of these kind of network things where there's nobody really in charge, but everybody's in charge. Anyway, the website is called g8cyclecaravan.org,
right.
Riding to a Better World. Mm-hmm. And the route will take you, departing on the 19th, to Linslade, then Coventry, Nottingham, Manchester, Lancaster, Penrith, Carlisle, Lockerbie, Lanark, and arriving just in time for all the big world leaders who are going to come into the G8.
Yeah, it's a genuine tour of Britain, isn't it? I think, you know, I imagine it's one of those events which will pick up a lot of momentum if it gets a bit of publicity beforehand, because it'll probably capture the imagination of a lot of cyclists who are probably into raising awareness of some of the G8 issues. So yeah, good luck to him.
Let's go. Well, I hope to make it myself, and we'll record something to put on the radio afterwards. That's the end of the show, I think. Thanks, William, for joining me. Next week we've got Navind Babaram, GLA candidate, independent, pro bicycle candidate, rides a recumbent, has used to work on the bicycle rickshaws, and is going to come in and play some records and talk about what he thinks about cycling.